Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope your Thursday is going well. It's Thursday, October 17th. It is a feast of St. Ignatius of Antioch. Pray for us. I just want to read this beautiful summary regarding St. Ignatius on my Magnificat app this morning. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus places a little child in the midst of his disciples and embraces him, saying, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me." Mark 9:37. An ancient tradition identifies a child as Ignatius of Antioch. Said to have been a hearer of the Apostle John, Ignatius, serving as Bishop of Antioch in Syria for 40 years, arrested by the Romans, transported to the imperial capital, where he was slain by wild beasts in the amphitheater around AD 107. The fervent letters he wrote to his fellow Christians as he journeyed to his death, continuing to inspire modern readers. What a beautiful summary of the amazing life of amazing saint, St. Ignatius of Antioch. Pray for us. Coming up on the program today, we have the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa, our Cultural Connections with Father Mitch on a Thursday morning. There was a really good article yesterday on the Register and Catholic News Agency about one of the archbishops that EWTN interviewed. And the headline is, "Australian Archbishop Synod on Synodality Cannot Reinvent the Catholic Faith." Amen to that. And we'll talk about this article and also talk about some of the concerns that are being raised, because some people are saying, well, you know, so many countries have different customs and are facing different things, so therefore maybe we should adjust the church teachings to what they're going through. So we will talk about this. They was also interviewed on EWTN News Nightly on October 15th, and then the comments posted on our online outlet. So we'll discuss that with Father Mitch, and also some of the issues that are being discussed and how some are trying to push the church in a different direction, and what will happen, could happen with this. So we'll talk with Father Mitch coming up at about 15 minutes past the hour. Then the one, the only, Bill Donahue, the feisty, Mr. Feistiness himself, will be joining us, president of the Catholic League. Thanks be to God for this amazing organization, because they literally blanketed the media after my governor, Gretchen Whitmer's phony apology came out about the awful stunt that was a direct insult to Catholics and many other Christians that she pulled last week. And the apology really was pathetic. I don't know what was more pathetic, with the stunt that she pulled or the so-called apology. We'll discuss with Bill and also what they're hearing, because they did an amazing job of letting people know what happened with the situation with our governor in Michigan, who's extremely pro-abortion. He's a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. Her attorney general has, Dana Nessel, has come after the church in so many ways and mocks rosary beads, and it's just an ugly situation. They pushed Proposal 3. Well, the rest of the story, it's not pretty. But anyway, Bill Donahue taking them to task, and we'll discuss, but also get his reaction to the interview last night with the vice president on Fox News and some of the stunts that they pulled, their team, where they showed up 15 to 20 minutes late. The interview was scheduled at 5 o'clock. They show up about 5:15, 5:20. Now, he goes on the air at 6 o'clock Eastern time with his show. And so, obviously, you don't have to be, you know, a Pulitzer Prize winner to realize that you're getting closer and closer to the airtime. Makes it difficult to turn around something that big, a big interview. And it also shortens the time of the interview. And then some other interesting comments made during the interview we'll discuss and get Bill Donahue's reaction. Also, regarding the Al Smith dinner, which is skipped by Kamala Harris. So much to discuss this morning on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Let's take a look at the weather before we get into the news. A Pacific storm bringing colder temps and widespread mountain snow to much of the Intermountain West, and that's through the end of the week. We have elevated to critical fire weather conditions persisting over the parts of the northern and central plains, the Great Basin, and the northern Gulf Coast today. And then there's also some widespread red flag warnings that have been issued. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Again, it's October 17th, 2024, the Feast of St. Ignatius of Antioch. Pray for us. Let's check the news now on a Thursday. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles will pay $880 million to settle over 1,000 child sex abuse lawsuits. A historically large settlement announced yesterday. It will compensate 1,300 victims. It is the largest single child sex abuse settlement with a Catholic Archdiocese ever. The lawsuits are filed after California lifted the statute of limitations that allowed a 3-year window for child sex abuse victims to file civil claims. In January of next year, Pope Francis, according to Catholic News Agency, will become the first sitting pontiff to publish an autobiographical memoir, which will be titled Hope. Random House Publishing announcing the memoir's unprecedented global release yesterday. The original plan, CNA tells us, according to the publisher, had been to release the memoir after his death. However, the Pope decided to publish it in light of the upcoming 2025 Jubilee Year of Hope. A jubilee occurs every 25 years in the Catholic Church, although the Holy Father can declare them more often, and is a year of special grace and pilgrimage for members of the faithful. That memoir, which the Holy Father began work on in March of 2019, will be available in more than 80 countries on January 14th of next year. Vice President Kamala Harris confronted with questions about her knowledge of President Biden's mental decline, this during her interview Wednesday with Fox News' Brett Baer. After a brief pause to the question, Harris continuing to tout Biden's ability in office, the special report anchor then citing comments made by actor George Clooney, who said in the now infamous New York Times op-ed that the president was not the same Joe Biden he once knew after spending time with him at a fundraiser earlier this year. But Harris insisted instead it was Donald Trump who had stability issues, not Biden, and she refused to address what she knew when about Biden's competency issues. President Biden's critics have long drawn scrutiny toward his mental acuity throughout his presidency, which was flatly rejected by Democrats and members of the legacy media. However, that all changed following Biden's disastrous performance in the CNN presidential debate against the former president, Donald Trump, and resulted in his dramatic exit from the presidential race this year and the sudden emergence of Harris at the top of the Democratic ticket. Vice President Harris also insisting last night she would not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency after two interviews last week where she was unable to name anything she would do differently or have changed about his administration. Meanwhile, Fox News special report host claimed Wednesday that Kamala Harris's campaign team pared down the allotted time he had with her just before the highly anticipated interview and then had the vice president show up late. Baer is a veteran political journalist, and he compared the Harris campaign's tactics to a football team icing the kicker before an important field goal attempt.
You know, when the kicker in football, they call a timeout right before he's going to kick the field goal. They're icing the kicker. So we were supposed to start at 5 p.m. This was the time they gave us. Originally, we were going to do 25 or 30 minutes. They came in and said, well, maybe 20. So it was already getting whittled down. And then the vice president showed up about 5:15. We were pushing the envelope to be able to turn it around for the top of the 6 o'clock. So that's how it started. And I could tell when we started talking that she was going to be tough to you know, redirect without me trying to interrupt. I did this with President Obama. At one point, I just said, Mr. President, I know you like the filibuster. I just didn't even have the chance to sometimes redirect in those ways. I had a lot of other questions.
In his post-interview analysis, Baer also revealing he had hoped to ask more questions, but several Harris campaign staffers were apparently frantically signaling to him off camera to end the interview because his time was up, according to them. The U.S. military is conducting airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin saying late Wednesday that B-2 stealth bombers have been deployed against the Iranian-backed militants, targeting 5 underground weapon storage sites. Austin calling it a demonstration of the U.S. military's ability to target facilities that are our adversaries and seek to keep out of reach no matter how deeply buried, underground, hardened, or fortified they may be. The airstrikes are in response to Houthi attacks against commercial vessels in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. New York Police Department says nearly 24 migrant children are allegedly robbing people in Times Square. Cops say the group made up of 11 to 18-year-olds is responsible for at least 50 crimes, and they calls itself Los Diablos, or the Little Devils of 42nd Street.
This is what our administration has let in. We have so many terrorists we don't even know that are here, gangs, drug lords, so we're in for it.
That's why I don't, like, I'm debating on whether to vote for Harris or Trump, because I know Trump will get them out of here.
Authorities believe Trende Aragua, a Venezuelan gang, is recruiting the kids who live in New York City hotels and have been turned into migrant shelters because they won't have to do jail time. The alleged crimes have intensified from snatches to knife or gunpoint robberies of the gang of kids posting their activities on social media as well. A new video shows a surge of illegal immigrant children, meanwhile, flowing across the border into Texas.
New video shows Texas state troopers catching a large group of illegal immigrants who crossed the border near Eagle Pass. Of the more than 200 who surrendered, 57 were unaccompanied children. Some were as young as 8 years old. And three were classified as special interest aliens because they came from the West African nation of Mali. This video shows them holding pieces of paper with addresses to various states. Kids present a special challenge for those guarding the border. In a statement, the Texas Department of Public Safety says criminal predators exploit these children who have no one to protect them.
And David Folk Thomas tells us Delta Airlines is now extending a pause on flights between JFK Airport and Tel Aviv from December 31st all the way through the end of March.
Delta making the announcement Tuesday and said the decision was based on the ongoing turmoil in the Middle East. Delta initially suspended flights to Tel Aviv after the Hamas terror attack on October 7th of last year. The airline briefly resumed flights in June, only to pause them again in August. United and American have similar pauses in place.
President Biden in Germany, where he will participate in a summit with the leaders of Germany, France, and the United Kingdom on the table of support for Ukraine in its war against the Russian invasion and efforts to stabilize the Middle East. His trip was set from last week after the devastation brought by Hurricane Milton in Florida. Election officials, speaking of hurricanes, as Karen Curtis tells us, are concerned that displaced hurricane victims will not be able to vote in the upcoming general election.
I'm crossing my fingers that everyone's going to be able to vote.
University of Florida election expert Dr. Michael McDonald says Governor Ron DeSantis is making special accommodations for voters in hurricane strike zones.
In Florida, with Helene, we already had Governor DeSantis issue emergency orders similar to what he did like back in 2018 with Matthew. And so hopefully those are going to be enough provisions about where you can request a mail ballot and where you can vote.
Early voting gets underway in Florida on Monday, October 21st. Vote by mail is in progress. And McDonald says so far, 700,000 ballots have already been returned.
SpaceX is suing regulators in California after officials rejected the company's plan to increase rocket launches. A lawsuit claims the California Coastal Commission engaging in naked political discrimination against the company's owner, Elon Musk. The state agency denied a plan last week to expand the number of rocket launches at Vandenberg Space Force Base in Santa Barbara. In the lawsuit, SpaceX accusing regulators of violating Musk's right to free speech. Aaron Rial tells us that state or perceived state of the economy tends to have a profound impact on presidential elections.
Bankrate's new Politics and Economy survey shows 41% of Americans say inflation is their top economic issue this presidential election. And the majority of Americans aren't pleased with the economy. More than half surveyed, 55%, think the U.S. economy is headed in the wrong direction. More than 2 in 5 Americans say Trump would be the best for their personal financial situation and inflation, while 45% believe he would be best for the economy.
Onlookers gathering outside the Buenos Aires Hotel Wednesday, where former One Direction band member Liam Payne fell from a balcony to his death. Fans started to show up after the news of the shocking death spread, setting up a vigil to the 31-year-old British musician. Here's entertainment reporter Sean Mandel.
So many people will have grown up with One Direction, will have grown up with the music of them, and can still vividly remember where they were and how they felt when the band broke up.
Tributes also pouring in across social media with fans and fellow artists expressing disbelief and grief. The circumstances around his death are under investigation. The Federal Trade Commission making it easier to cancel digital subscriptions. It announced it would soon put in place a final click to cancel rule. It would require sellers to make it as easy for consumers to cancel their enrollment as it is to sign up. FTC Chair Lina Khan says that rule will end businesses' tricks and traps, saying they make people jump through endless hoops just to cancel a subscription. And after 2 decades worth of steady growth, the California wine industry has been on a decline, and for the past year and a half, the price of wine has been going down.
You know, we've had 20 years of growth, and every once in a while you get in overproduction and a few other things affecting demand. But as a consumer, if you look out the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, it'll be an amazing opportunity to buy some great wines.
That's Jeff O'Neill, as he's a winemaker in California, and says a consumer is really the one who is about to benefit even more. There are a few reasons for the drop in prices, but the most obvious, he says, is the surplus of grapes. In the past year alone, the surplus of grapes in California is up almost 160%, meaning the price per ton has greatly dropped. Based on the median values, over the past 18 months, grapes have been offered at prices well below the market average. And speaking of fruit, we have grapes and we also have bananas, but as Katie Gray tells us, maybe not. Scientists are trying to save one fruit from becoming completely extinct in all grocery stores.
Experts warn bananas are facing extinction due to two diseases threatening the fruit worldwide, putting the entire banana industry at risk. One major fruit seller, Chiquita, is trying to do something about it by working on a solution by breeding a disease-resistant banana using a genetic bank. They tell PopularScience.com that the new banana may taste different from the ones we're used to. This wouldn't be the first time that there would be a new generation found on the shelves. During the 1950s, the pathogen wiped out commercial banana crops, only to be replaced by the one offered today in its place.
Almost 16 minutes past the hour. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday morning, October 17th. Could we, for instance, envision a church where you have ordination of women in some countries but not in other countries, or you have same-sex marriages in some countries but not in other countries? Some very important questions raised by one of the archbishops of Australia in an interview recently on EWTN News Nightly. The comments posted online at Catholic News Agency, of course, and also at the National Catholic Register. We'll discuss his very legitimate concerns regarding some of the discussions being held at the Synod on Synodality in Rome. Father Mitch Pacua addressing this, and we come back on a Thursday. It's Cultural Connections with Father Mitch on October 17th. We'll be right back.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. When we said cabins are filling fast, we meant it. The 2025 cruise is sold out. But it's the Good News Cruise, not the Bad News Cruise. So the 2026 Good News Cruise is planned and taking orders. There'll be new special and surprise guests and familiar ones from Ave Maria Radio, as well as Father Michael Schmitz and Father Joe Krupp. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Oh my goodness, 19 minutes past the hour already. Cultural Connections with our very own Father Mitch Pacua, of course, from EWTN. And Father, I know you hosted a new favorite bishop of mine, Bishop Caggiano, Frank Caggiano from Bridgeport. And he's delightful, isn't he? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, he is. And he says nice things about you.
Mark this down, right? Somebody's saying something nice about us. Well, he's great.
Know,
he's such
I
a
know.
Solid bishop. Where did
Dude,
you go to his
flesh.
He did the opening talk and the opening mass, I think, for the radio conference, correct?
He didn't do the opening mass. He got into town after the mass. Our local bishop did that.
Oh, okay, great, great.
Yeah. So,
well, I have to watch the rerun of the show because I didn't get a chance to watch it last night. But I did want to talk to you. Speaking of bishops, the Australian bishop from Sydney does a great interview with EWTN News Nightly earlier this week, talking about some concerns he has regarding people pushing changes in church teaching for particular countries. For example, he raises these questions. Could we, for instance, envision a church where you have ordination of women in some countries but not in other countries, or you have same-sex marriages in some countries but not in other countries? So he's very concerned about this, and he leads one of Australia's largest archdioceses by numbers in terms of Sydney, around 600,000 Catholics in the 5.3 million population of Sydney, Australia. But he raises some good points because there are some concerns about some of the discussions. What's your response to what he said?
Of course he's going to say this stuff because he is a Dominican who really understands St. Thomas Aquinas and how truth is unified. This is a basic principle in Catholicism that truth is one. You don't have a truth in North America and a truth in Europe, etc. And we ought to see how science and faith are both true, and that they form part of a unified truth as well. We have a lot of people who would try to separate and isolate these things. This is the nonsense of modern relativism, and it's something that all of us have to understand is inherently false. We have instead a moral obligation to understand the importance of the truth about God, and a primary element of that truth is something that Bishop Caggiano and I spoke about yesterday, namely that truth in Christianity is not an idea, but it is a person, the person Jesus Christ. And we need to have a clear understanding of that for ourselves and for the rest of the world. The world has gone toward ever-increasing notions of, of relativism. And as such, they would easily see this is a fad right now, that you can have different kinds of truth. We don't follow fads. We watch them pass. I don't know that Chesterton actually said it this way, but there is a wonderful line attributed to him that whoever marries himself to the spirit of the times will soon find himself a widower.
Wow. What a great quote.
Yeah, it really is. And whether he said it or not, it's true. So this is something that we all have to keep very clearly in mind. These fads will come and go, and people get all excited that the church has to stay relevant to these times. No, it's more like another great quote. Many of us heard, especially in the past, less so today, "My country, right or wrong." Remember that? Do you know the rest of the quote?
No.
"When my country is right, keep it right. When it is wrong, make it right." That's how the whole quote goes. You don't often hear that.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
That's why I said it.
I'm looking at this quote from Archbishop Fisher in the article that was posted on CNA earlier this week. "It is one faith that it's important to me, coming from the peripheries of the church in Australia, about as far away as you can be from Rome and the world. It's the one church, it's the one faith, and we want to keep celebrating that even amidst our cultural diversity." Because there's some people who think that you can't be culturally diverse without changing core teachings of the church.
Yeah, see, that is something ignorant. For instance, would they say that gravity has another kind of authority in England than it does in Germany? I think not. And if they do, they are ignorant, because the discoverer of the theory of gravity was an Englishman who thought that it applied everywhere in the universe. So this is a good example of how a number of these folks are born ignorant and are staying that way.
Yeah. More with Father Mitch Pacwa on a Thursday, our cultural connections. Stay tuned. It is Thursday, October 17th, the Feast of the Great Saint Ignatius of Antioch. We'll be right back.
What makes an act moral or immoral? The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays out specific criteria for us to follow. When he acts deliberately, man is, so to speak, the father of his acts. Acts freely chosen can be morally evaluated as either good or evil. The sources on which the morality of an act are determined are three. 1, the object chosen. 2, the intent of the act. 3, the circumstances surrounding the act. To be moral, the object of the act itself must be good and the intention pure. The circumstances are secondary to the first two criteria. They can increase or diminish the morality of the act. For instance, stealing a candy bar is wrong, but far less evil than robbing a bank. Intent and circumstance, however, cannot change the moral quality of the act itself. The end does not justify the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Catholic family life is a liturgy. Liturgy is a word that means a public act of worship. And for Catholics, liturgy is an act of worship established by God and intended to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships with Him and each other. For instance, the liturgy of the Eucharist is God's way of restoring communion with Him and making communion with others possible. Well, when we bring that Eucharistic grace home by looking for little ways we can share Christ's sacrificial love with our family each day, we celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, the liturgy that helps God heal the damage sin tries to do in our homes, at the very root of human relationships. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Always great to catch up with Father Mitch Pacwa on EWTN. And don't forget to, if you didn't see his program last night with Bishop Caggiano, then take a look. You can always check it out online, and they're posted, and you can watch them. I can't wait to see it. I had the blessing of being interviewed by Bishop Caggiano on his Let's Be Frank podcast. I believe it was Tuesday. Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
I think it was Tuesday. And
his first name is Frank.
Frank, so Let's Be Frank.
Know him. So he's... So, and I think it's called Let Me Be Frank. And I
yes.
asked him, who's trying to stop you from being frank? I told you I was a wise guy.
Yeah, he's delightful. I got to watch that show, because that has to be something with the two of you. I could only imagine. Okay, we wanted to talk about, you wanted to bring this up, and I'm glad you are bringing this up, because tonight is the big Alfred Smith Memorial Foundation dinner, which raises all kinds of money for charities, and the tradition has been for decades that both candidates running for office, for a presidential office, show up, and it's a fun, they take jabs at each other, they raise a lot of money for charity, people on both sides of the aisle come together, but the vice president is not coming this evening. What say you about that?
Well, first of all, that's the first time in 40 years that a presidential candidate has not shown up. That makes me very sad. It really does. We One of the things missing today is a civility in our politics. Everybody complains some of these politicians are kind of mean and they act kind of mean to each other and all this. Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for the politicians of both sides to have a good-natured talk, you know, and joke. Hillary Clinton and then candidate Trump came to that years ago, and were smiling and having a good time. And the two of them didn't often smile with each other. I mean, they had a cantankerous relationship. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, you could use this as a way to help restore a certain amount of peaceful relationships with each other. That would be one of my goals. And I think it's a missed opportunity. The other thing, too, that I don't think the vice president fully grasps is that the L. Smith dinner was about having this opportunity to have a minority. Al Smith was one of the first minority people ever to run for office.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for president as a candidate. Catholics, and he lost badly, largely because he was Catholic. And that was a flat reality. People were afraid of a Catholic candidate. Here, we have another minority candidate who has an opportunity to show solidarity with minority relationships. And I think that is well worth getting back to. Be support and have fun. Have fun. You know, this is one of the elements missing. So many politicians take themselves so seriously. I mean, some of them I call broomstick people. They have a broomstick so high up their backside that it's going to take surgery to get it back out. This is something that she ought to use the opportunity to have fun and enjoy being with people. And she's missed a great opportunity, I think. I really wish that she had done things differently.
Well, Cardinal Dolan kept extending the invitation over and over.
Yeah, he even said today, I saw him on the news, that we're going to keep trying. He wants her there. And he's a very nice man. You know, mm-hmm. He's not harsh by any stretch of the imagination. He's a very kind man. And he still wants her to be there because he wants to see this kind of civility and geniality brought back. You know, old Ronald Reagan and, I forget the Speaker of the House now. He's from Massachusetts, I think.
Tip O'Neill? Was it Tip O'Neill?
Mm-hmm. They disagreed strongly, but they came back together and had a beer together and talked over various issues. And they could still be friends, tell each other jokes. This kind of good-natured civility is much needed today. And I just regret that the vice president has missed that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, it's a shame because I think it also, it seems as if, and this may not be the case in terms of what they were thinking, the Harris team, but I think it's another snub to Catholics. That's my personal opinion of it.
Well, see, this is, you know, especially in light of your governor in Michigan.
Oh, please.
Who made this wise guy kind of attack on the Holy Eucharist. That's bad enough right there. We don't need to have more politicization and harshness. Let's calm it down a little bit, folks. It'll be okay.
But the problem is, over and over again, the Catholic Church seems to be, well, we can criticize Catholics because Catholics won't do anything, or who cares? Because we're peaceful people, but we did speak out. I was glad to see, because Bill Donahue is joining us up next, and he spoke out very clearly and very strongly against this. And as a result, I think that's why she issued her apology that really wasn't an apology, but she was forced to acknowledge that she had really offended a lot of people. But it's just so ridiculous. And again, this is an opportunity for Harris to come to this dinner and to rise above all the rhetoric and to, as you said, you know, let your hair down, have a little fun. And then it makes people a lot more comfortable, too, about the candidates.
Well, that's one of the goals of having good-natured fun together. This is why you do that. Humor is, it certainly has a certain aggressive quality to it, to be sure, but it's good natured and it reduces tension when it is good natured. This is what we would like to see more of. And it's just just dumb.
Well, I agree. Well, Father, thank you so much, as always, for your insight. And I can't wait to see the show with Bishop Frank. It's going to be so great. And what a great bishop he is. And thank you for all of your dedication to the church and all that you do. And it must be fun, though, to have him on set because he's very feisty.
Oh, what was fun? It was fun having him come over to my house, too, before the show.
Oh, I want to hear about that. We'll talk about that next week. Father, thanks. Have a great week. Appreciate your insight and always your comments on our cultural connections. Speaking of great comments, Bill Donahue, he's up next. Stay tuned.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN family prayer. Today we pray for the caregivers of the sick. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You have first loved us, and through your Son you have taught us the excellence of self-giving love. Give to those who are caregivers of a sick parent or child, brother or sister, the assistance of your holy angels. Lessen their burdens and give them great joy in practicing a work of mercy. And since charity is never forgotten by you, reveal to them their heavenly reward. Amen.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, I have more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Always great to have Bill Donahue, president of the Amazing Catholic League, with us on Catholic Connection. Bill, I'm so grateful for your organization because I was distraught beside myself, so upset at what my governor pulled last week, and then her response, her apology, which wasn't an apology. What was your reaction, first of all, when you saw that video? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I mean, it was rather astonishing. I didn't think that somebody like her, who wants to be president in 2028, her and Shapiro and Newsom will be running, would actually dig herself such a hole. I mean, I guess they really do live in a bubble. When you insult 20% of the people who live in Michigan and 20 to 25% of the nation, you have to wonder, are you committing political sabotage intentionally or are you just plain stupid? I was blown away by it. I really was.
And then the follow-up from her team, in addition to the apology, as you said, and I totally agree that was not an apology, she was saying that she's sorry that we're not hip like her and we can't understand what she was trying to do, so that's not an apology. That's, you know, deflection and projection. But her staff member saying, oh, well, she wasn't really kneeling. This woman who was, you know, so-called receiving the Dorito chip wasn't kneeling. And yes, she was. Okay, so she was sitting on a couch or a floor. Her posture was that of receiving communion. I mean, what does she think? We were born yesterday?
Well, you know, we have a monthly journal here at the Catholic League, and in the November issue on page 2, we have a picture of Liz Plank, the gal, kneeling, and Kamala was giving her the Dorito chip on the tongue. This clearly, without a question, unmistakably, was to mock the Eucharist. They said that, well, people on TikTok doing the same thing. No, they were not.
No, they weren't.
We went on TikTok.
No, they're not.
They show people putting a donut or a hot dog or giving soup or somebody. They're feeding each other some little game that they're playing, and that's inoffensive. It may be dumb, but it's not offensive. What they did clearly was to stick it to Catholics and them to lie about it when we have the picture, which clearly shows what's going on. I guess they must think that we're all stupid. I my head shakes. But this is going to follow Whitmer. This was a serious mistake. And now we have the picture. This is part of her legacy. So we'll see what happens the next time she wants to run for office.
But what was also very frustrating for me as a journalist is that where were the media following up? They just accepted this so-called apology. Did they not ask for an interview? If it were any other religious group, there would have been they would still be talking about it today. So they should have gotten a hold of her, sat her down or someone from her office and say, what in the world were you thinking? 20% of your citizens in your state, taxpayers that pay your salary are Catholic. How could you even think of doing this? What was on her mind? That's what I want to know. And we have a right to know.
Well, the initial report from the Hill, the second one was good. The initial report tried to say that there was nothing wrong with it, never referenced Holy Communion. The same thing is true of the Detroit News. There was a cover-up. So what we did here, and the staff came in Friday morning, they said, don't do anything, your regular work, no searches, nothing. I want the email of every single parish in the state of Michigan. I want the email of every single state lawmaker. I want you to flood the Michigan media as well as the national one, which we always do anyways, so that they can't avoid it. And quite frankly, they couldn't. I mean, we got a lot of nice hits locally. I was on CBS in Grand Rapids, and then but nationally picked up by Fox News and Yahoo and many others. So at that point, we were satisfied that at least the word was getting out, even though some of the media were trying to cover up on it. But, I just don't understand why someone would be that dumb as to think they could get away with it and then to compound the problem by lying about it.
And then to tell us that we're the problem. And she's sorry that this was not what she was trying to do. She was trying to, she says in this apology, mimic these TikTok videos. And so we're the ones who are stupid and we're the ones who have the problem because we're not hip and cool and we couldn't understand what she was trying to do. So we're the issue, not her. That's not an apology.
No, it's not an apology. And then Liz Plank made it worse when she said, no, I was on the couch. Oh, you were on the couch during the interview. But when they were mocking Holy Communion, you were on your knees, and the picture is unassailable. We know what it. The picture doesn't lie, so they can talk all they want. It was a bad week for her, and then she made things worse. But then she has to pay the price.
Right. Well, you know, as we say in the business, Bill, it's off the tower, we say in broadcasting. So that's out there now, and you're right. It's going to be out there forever, and it's going to come up again, and it should come up again because it was pathetic and it was insulting. I mean, this is God we're talking about. This is the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the most important part of our faith.
Well, you know, a number of years ago, Jay Leno called me up, and he said, Bill, I know you're offended by some of the stuff I'm saying. He said, I tell 11,000 jokes a year. He said, can you give me some advice? And Clyde Haberman of the New York Times, he also called me and asked me, you know, listen, you're kind of the arbitrator of what's going on here. You make the decisions. What can I do? Well, I said, fine. If you want to make fun of Catholic schoolboy traditions and Catholic schoolgirl traditions and their plaid dress and stuff like that. You can get away with that. I've never complained about Sister Act, okay? We have to be able to laugh at each other. But when you get into the heart and soul of our religion, mm-hmm. when you get to the mm-hmm. Eucharist, when you get to Jesus, when you get to our Blessed Mother, and you start to mock them, you've crossed the line. If you can't tell right. the difference, then we have a serious problem. He said, I got it.
Yeah. Well, I wish there were more comedians like that these days. But let's move on to the situation with the vice president. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, and Father Mitch Pacwa, who says hello, by the way, big fan of yours, as you know, was talking about how disappointed he is that she's not showing up tonight for the Al Smith dinner, and that Cardinal Dolan is still extending the invitation to her, hoping that she'll change her mind.
Well, I love Father Mitch and Cardinal Dolan. I have a little bit different opinion. She doesn't belong there. First of all, she's virulently anti-Catholic. She wants to, she endorsed a sponsor of Do No Harm Act and the Equality Act, both of which would eviscerate, totally destroy the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. What that means, listeners, is what Kamala Harris wants and Joe Biden wants is to force Catholic doctors and hospitals to perform abortions and sex reassignment surgery. So she doesn't belong there. She doesn't belong there for another reason. She's not quick on her feet. This is a roast. Trump, whatever people may want to think of him, he's quick on his feet. He's a New Yorker. He's used to roasting people. She'd be out of her element. There's no teleprompter that she can depend on to get through this. So she would have fallen flat on her face. And this is the first time since 1984 that a Catholic who's running for president has decided to stiff the Archdiocese of New York and not show. That guy was Walter Mondale. He won one state that year.
Interesting. All right, so the interview last night with Brett Baer on Fox News, and first of all, she shows up late, 15, 20 minutes late, which made it difficult for them to turn the show around. But I thought one of the most egregious things that she was saying was when he was asking her about what did you know and when about Joe Biden and his mental issues in terms of the lack of competency. And she started talking about how she was watching him, and I think this is a pretty close quote. I watched him go from the Oval Office to the Situation Room, making all these important decisions for this country. And she never addressed what she knew when. And then she turned it over onto Trump. And again, as you said, whatever you think about Trump, that's not the question. The question is, Madam Vice President, what did you know when about the situation with Joe Biden? Because the American people had the right to know. If you kept that from the American people, then you were part of this huge, terrible cover-up.
Well, first of all, I commend Brett Baer for asking that question. I was wondering, I said to my staff, I've been saying it for a long, long time, why doesn't anybody ever ask Dr. Jill? She lives with him. Mm-hmm. When did you know? The whole world knew that he was mentally shot for a long time. So the question is, when did you know it? What did you do about it? Did you ever speak to him? Did you ever try to counsel him? You know, once Biden goes, you're going to see all of these memoirs and all these anecdotes and these books that have come out of different reflections and their experiences. There'll be one story after another. There'll be hundreds of them, hundreds of people who will explain, I was at a meeting, he couldn't understand what he's talking about. You think that Campbell is the word salad queen? He can't even speak. He doesn't remember things. He didn't know where he was at. It's all going to come out. And we're to think that she didn't know about it? Now, I know it's a delicate question, but nonetheless, it's the kind of question she should have anticipated. She couldn't answer the question, what would you do different than Biden? So, these are the most basic questions, really elementary, and she doesn't have a ready answer for this. As far as coming late, she has a reputation of doing that. That's part of her own arrogance, too. Another example.
Yeah, but it's a low blow because when you're granting someone that much time, you're giving them that time, and then they have to turn it around. I don't have to tell you. You know all about the news media. You do it all the time. But to me, that was just so low class in terms of you're supposed to be showing up for interviews, be there on time, answer the questions. You're running for the presidential office. You're running for the White House, for crying out loud. Now, it was interesting that Joe Concha, who's a media critic, he put out, which I thought was spot on, he put out a post on X talking about everybody has gotten the memo now. They're realizing how this works. So what he did was he took the headlines from several different media organizations, NPR, CNN, AP, and others, and basically, Bill, they all have the same headline using the same words. So now the message out there is, oh, Brett Baer was way too testy with the vice president. Harris' interview on Fox gets testy, but also gives her a do-over. Kamala Harris spars the Fox News anchor in testy interview. Testy, testy, testy. Now, you cannot tell me that they didn't get the memo from somebody somewhere using that word. Why is that same word testy in all of these headlines?
Well, Joe is right about that, Joe Concha, but we've seen that here for a long, long time, particularly under this administration. The talking points that are out there, they're mimicked. I mean, you see them on MSNBC, you see on CNN, they say the same kinds of things. It's not a mistake. They get their talking points. This has been revealed before. And the thing is this, she was the one who's really testy, if people really look at it. It wasn't
yes.
Right there. He tried to ask her some, you know, she won't answer the question. So, of course, at some point he's going to say, listen, we only have a little bit of time here. And, of course, we have less time now because you come in 15 minutes late. But I want to ask you this and try to hold her feet to the fire. And she gets angry then at him. I don't think that's good. You know, the American people can pick up when somebody's really angry like that. That's not going to help her in the long run. So I don't think she did herself any good.
Well, the thing is, she has to answer these questions. And what is she, they're going to pat her on the back, but she's decided to do one interview with somebody who knows what he's doing as a journalist and asking decent questions and hard questions. That's ridiculous. And she should have answered the questions. And as you said, she should be prepared. Anybody, I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, Independent, should be prepared to ask answer such a serious question, especially about the situation with Joe Biden. And she put it all on the man running against her. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Right?
Well, that's exactly what they do, though. I mean, everything about them is to go after Trump. They want to make him the issue and to skirt off the actual question. Take immigration. Bill Whitaker, over at 60 Minutes, said, look, it's quadrupled. Illegal immigration is quadrupled under your watch. She still won't try to answer that question. They let this happen because they want the votes. It's obvious. They let the people come in here crashing. It's on the front page of today's New York Post about a 15-year-old Venezuelan arrested many, many times, all kinds of problems, and he's in and out and whatnot. They emptied their prisons and their juvenile detention centers in Venezuela. They sent them into this country, and what's going on? Americans are being preyed upon every day in New York, and it's all because this is intentional. She says, well, we didn't have a law. What law did Trump have? We have the 1986 law, Simpson-Mazzoli. I used to teach this to college kids, and there hasn't been any comprehensive one since because of both Republicans and Democrats. I'll agree on that. But Trump didn't have to wait for another law. He issued executive orders. He built the wall. They took the wall down. It's rusting away. They wanted these people to come in to flood into our country, and they had to know the consequences of what's going on. And now they pretend that, you know, we can't do anything about it, and somehow it's Trump's fault.
Right.
I mean, Trump was the answer. Well, they're the problem.
Okay, if you want to talk about your the person running against you, and you want to go head-to-head with a reporter on what you disagree with and why, fine. But when you're talking about something that happened on your watch as a vice president of the United States, and you can't address it and you blame somebody else, that to me just speaks, and you and I know this, because that's what you do when you can't handle a question, you don't want to say the truth, you deflect, you project it, so you do the ad hominem attacks, it's everybody else's fault but yours.
Yeah, and that's it. They've been trained to say, listen, your default position is go after Trump. Even have
right.
absolutely nothing. They could talk about chocolate cake and she'd go after Trump. That's the way
yep.
they're trained. Because she's not quick on her feet, which is why she's not at the Al Smith dinner tonight. Not only is she anti-Catholic and doesn't belong there, but more importantly, this is a roast. Trump is a New Yorker. He's used to roasting people as quick as a whip. And then you'd have her. She won't be able to read anything. There'll be no teleprompter. She'd fall on her face. I mean, you know, in that sense, probably it's just as well that she's not going to be there.
Yeah. Well, Bill, thank you so much for all the hard work you did to get the story out there, especially about my governor and how she offended so many, not just Catholics, but so many other people, and also the truth that you always speak about the faith and about the reality of in which we're living. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Can't wait to have you on again. Bill Donahue, of course, president of the amazing Catholic League. Check out their great work, CatholicLeague.org. We'll be right back. Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will, at mycatholicwill.com. It takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Thursday, October 17th. So appreciate your listenership and support for this network and all of our affiliates across the country. This program co-produced, of course, by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. It's a Friday tomorrow. Doug Keck joining us, excuse me. And we'll be talking about what's coming up in the network with our Inside Word. And then also Fact Check Friday, taking a look at some of the interesting news stories of the week and how they weren't or maybe are factual. We'll see. There's so much to talk about. And then wrapping up with my dear friend and my co-host at Ave Maria Radio, Vanessa Denha-Garmo, all about communications. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.